Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on the most awesome Sunday night of the year. It is Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. And this is an exciting night to do this show. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Well, we have been waiting through all this time during Lent, and especially in the last week of Holy Week. And if you recall, a week ago when we did the Palm Sunday teaching, it was all about preparation. It was all about the lambs being prepared. It was all about the lamb, capital L, being prepared. Then we had the last Passover Seder that Messiah Jesus did in the flesh while he was on earth. And in that meal, and I hope you've all had a chance to go to a Messianic Seder. If not, certainly go to one next Passover. And during that famous Passover Seder that we call the Last Supper, the covenant was transitioned from the old covenant, the covenant of law, to the covenant of grace, the new covenant. And the agony which the Lord went through in his brutal crucifixion and the shedding of his blood, which was the only way that the wrath of God could be satisfied and was the only way that our sin could be forgiven, occurred. And on this day we've celebrated, and I hope you've all been to church today, on this day we've celebrated the resurrection. He came out of the tomb, a living, breathing body of Messiah, in his glorified state, walked out of the tomb. This is the same body that was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the same body that was born, the same body that grew, the same body that preached, the same body that walked around, the same body that ate and slept and hung out with his disciples, the same body that was nailed to the cross and died. And it was a complete death. It wasn't a simulated death. It wasn't that he went into some kind of a coma, or you may have heard of the swoon theory, and then somehow he was revived. No, he was physically dead. But today we celebrate the fact that that same body came out of the tomb, and that same body ascended into heaven 40 days later. And so here we are celebrating the resurrection. So tonight we're going to talk, you've probably heard a lot of teachings on at your church and on podcasts and on YouTubes and radios and wherever, so I'm just going to add one. My favorite account is Luke chapter 24. Always has been my favorite Easter morning account. I love the wording that Luke uses, and I love the reaction of the women. I love the reaction of Peter and John, and it really shows our humanity, our frail humanity, our poor memories, our weaknesses, our lack of discipline, but all that is redeemed and all of that is saved and all of that is brought into fullness in a glorious way, because as Paul's going to say later in 1 Corinthians, the resurrection is the ultimate sign that the sacrifice of Jesus was acceptable, complete, and not lacking in anything. The cross is not lacking in anything. And so I'm going to read the passage from Luke because it's so powerful. If you heard it this morning in church, that's great. If not, here it is. So Luke 24, 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And then they remembered his words. We're going to pause there, but then we're going to go back to the passage. So here we are, Luke 24. The resurrection, of course, is discussed in all four Gospels. It isn't just in the Synoptic Gospels like so many things, because this is an extraordinary event. This is the ultimate sign, as I mentioned. I mean, you talk about signs and wonders. In no time in human history did somebody die, and then on the third day following that, they were seen again. Not only seen, but walking, talking, eating, knowing people, communicating with people. That had never happened before in the history of humanity. So these women that describes that went to the tomb that morning, they knew him well. They followed him in his ministry. They had been with him for a fair amount of time. And they had come from Galilee with him. They presumably had seen him die on Friday afternoon, because the women were faithful and stayed with him. The men, other than John, turned out to be less than faithful, turned out to be cowards, turned out to be pretty bad friends, because they ran away. Peter, our friend Peter, as I like to call him, goes so far as denying him three times, and denying him not to a soldier, not to the high priest, not to the temple guard, but to a servant girl. Imagine that, to a servant girl. Big, strong Peter, who said, "Oh, Lord, you can't trust these guys, but I'm going to go with you, and I'll die with you. And oh, man, let me get my sword." Well, they were hiding in the upper room, and you can't really blame them. I shouldn't have been so critical of them, because you can't really blame them, because they probably thought the authorities were coming for them next. And it had only been, 36 hours or so, because the resurrection could have happened any time after sundown on Saturday night, what we would call Saturday night. But of course, the Hebrew day begins at sundown. So sundown started the next day. So Sunday started Saturday night at probably about 9 o'clock at that time of year. So Jesus could have risen any time after sundown, and that would be the third day. Now, if you go online, you can hear all kinds of people talking about how can it be 3 days and how can it be 3 nights and, oh, maybe he must have died on Thursday and all this nonsense. But this did not happen, because in Hebrew thought, a part of a day counts as a day, a part of a night counts as a night. I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. But this was the third day. Now, these women went with burial spices. You remember when they took the body down from the cross, it was the preparation day for the Sabbath. It was almost Shabbat. They could not leave dead bodies on the cross. They didn't have time to do the burial customs, because by sundown, not only did the body have to be buried, but they had to be home, or else they would be violating the Shabbat. So they did a quick anointing of the body with burial spices, which were mostly myrrh, put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, put the stone, then they went home, because they had to be home by sundown. So we see that Jesus had told them, at least a handful of times, that he was going to rise on the third day. So they went not to see if he had risen, not to prove to themselves that he had told the truth. They went to anoint a dead man. They went to finish the anointing now that the Sabbath was over. And it says it's the first day of the week, so it was Sunday. They go to finish the burial customs so they weren't defiled during the Sabbath. They saw the stone rolled away. Now, we know in the Good Friday accounts that when he was put in this tomb, there was a large stone that was rolled to cover the entrance to the tomb. But that had been rolled away, and it says they were surprised that the body was not inside. They saw him being taken down from the cross, did some kind of preparation to his body, put him in this place, saw the stone. You know, in the other accounts, it says, you know, the women wondered who was going to roll the stone away. But the stone was already rolled away. And you know, I heard this years ago, and I still chuckle about it. The stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that the people could get in and see that the body was not there and find his burial clothing there. So they were afraid. They were perplexed, but then they saw two angels. And like every other place in the scripture where human beings encounter an angel, they were afraid. They actually fell down. These were angels in shiny garments. So they went looking for a dead man who was their master, who they thought was the Messiah, who they had known for 3 years or so. And now they see two angels in shiny garments, but they don't see the dead man. It's really quite amazing. He had told them that the Son of Man was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to be handed over to evil, sinful people. He was going to be put to death. He was going to rise on the third day. Of all people, Peter should have remembered this because he, and indirectly Satan, was rebuked by Jesus when he said, oh, Lord, that's never going to happen. Oh, God forbid that ever happens. So he certainly should have remembered it. But the other thing they should have thought about was that particular day was the Hebrew Feast of First Fruits. It's one of the great feasts of Israel. And you would take a small amount of the first barley that ripened, you would offer it to the Lord, and if you did that, the rest of the crop would be blessed. And that's how it applies to us, because Jesus offers himself to the Father on our behalf, in our place. And so the rest of the crop, which is us, are blessed because the sacrifice is accepted. The barley offering is accepted. The sacrifice of the lamb is accepted. The Feast of First Fruits. Paul later talks about how he was the first fruit of the resurrection. In other words, he did first what we're going to do later. He did first what we're going to do later. And so we know that people died because people sinned. Nobody kept the law. We all had the curse of Adam. But now righteousness and life come through this atoning death. And this resurrection is the ultimate sign. So the women don't remember this, aren't thinking about this. The angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. So these two angels come from heaven just to give these women the message. Just to give these women the message that he's alive. He's a living Savior. You know, as Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He's a living Savior. In 1 Corinthians, you know, when Paul talks about this, he says, you know, some people believe there's no resurrection. Well, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise. Therefore, we're still in our sins. And of all the people on earth, we're the most pathetic because we put our hope and faith in a dead man. In a dead man. So the resurrection confirms this. So these heavenly witnesses come, two witnesses, like to satisfy the Torah, come and say this, that this man who was in the tomb, the God man who was in the tomb, is not a dead hero, he's not a dead teacher, he's not another great rabbi who died. He's the Messiah, and he's risen. He's a living Savior, a living Messiah. Then they said, remember what he told you when you guys were still in Galilee. And then they remembered. They felt pretty silly holding their little container of myrrh and aloes and whatever else they had, going to anoint a dead man because they didn't remember what he said when they were in Galilee. Now they remembered his words. They should have remembered. They shouldn't have been surprised. They should have looked in the tomb and said, ah, we knew he was going to rise today. I'm sure we're going to see him soon. No, they were amazed. They were stunned. So the angels, these two angels that they saw, didn't really bring anything that was new. This wasn't new news. They should have known what was going to happen. The angel simply reminded these women of what Jesus had said. So there they were holding their burial spices, probably feeling pretty stupid. Probably feeling pretty stupid. Now, again, lest we are too critical of them, imagine how we would have felt. We would have gotten up that morning still thinking, oh, I can't believe what happened. I can't believe they killed him. I can't believe this. I can't believe he died. What are we going to do now? We have to go finish the burial customs. We have to at least do that. And they're just absolutely stunned. So let's go on from there. Because the message he had given them, and I said it before, but it's worth repeating, and it quotes it there in verse 7, the Son of Man must be. Not, well, you know, might be. Well, it could happen this way, because you never know what's going to happen. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. So, starting in verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now, did the apostles say, well, we knew he was rising today. Why are you women so surprised? He told us we knew that. No. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Some translations say it sounded like a fable. Now, this wasn't some ordinary people who had heard of Jesus. These weren't some ordinary people that, well, you know, they encountered him once in a while. They saw him do a miracle a couple of years ago, and they heard people in Jerusalem talking about him. And no, these were the men who spent 3 years with him in a physical way. John, the apostle, in his first letter, says, we heard him, we saw him, we touched him, and that which was from before the creation, we had contact with, I'm paraphrasing, we experienced 3 years. He said to Philip, you've been with me 3 years and you don't know? The Father and I are one. They had been with him for 3 years. And now they said, well, this seems like a fable. These seem like idle tales. We don't believe you women. I might add that the news of the resurrection was first given to women, which was interesting because not only were women second-class citizens at this point, they were not even allowed to testify in court because women were felt to be unreliable. They weren't trustworthy. And so these men get the news and they say, you women are crazy. I don't believe this. What are you talking about? Verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So these women run to tell the apostles. The apostles don't believe it. They also had forgotten what Jesus' words were when they were in Galilee. They didn't believe the women. They didn't remember what he had said. How could you not remember if somebody told you, yes, I'm going to be killed, but on the third day, I'm going to rise? But they didn't remember it. They had all expressed faith in him. They had all said he was the Messiah. They had all said he was the Son of God. Peter gives his great confession in Matthew's gospel. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he says, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. He had told them several times. They had seen him raise Lazarus. They had seen him raise the dead little girl that he went into the room to see and to pray with. They had seen him heal people, but they didn't believe that he rose. So Peter says, well, you know, I'm going to check this out. The other accounts have John going too. And anyway, it's kind of cute because it says, you know, John outran Peter because he was younger. He outran him to the tomb, but he let Peter go in the tomb first, and they saw the burial cloths. They saw the part that covered the head and face in a separate place folded, and a burial shroud on the slab of stone. So Peter then marvels what had happened. He had also been there when I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's John chapter 2, where the Jews say to Jesus, what sign do you show us that you do these things? And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they said, ha, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up again in 3 days? And John goes on to say, he was talking about the temple of his body. He was talking about his body being the temple. And here it is. It's John 2, 18 to 22. And this last verse is great. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They believed the scripture? What scripture did they have then? The Old Testament, the Tanakh, that was the only scripture. The New Testament wouldn't be completed for decades more, wouldn't all be organized into the canon for over the next couple of centuries. So they believed the scripture. In other words, they saw evidence of this in the Old Testament. They knew this from the Torah and they knew this from the prophets. So now they understand. It finally makes an impression on them that he has risen from the dead. And he's now, they would have known this was the first fruit, the Feast of First Fruits. All these things would have come together, and you'd think that they would have been so excited. But they weren't. They were scared. Later that night, maybe we'll talk about this next week or following week, later that night he comes to the upper room with them. And they get scared. They think it's a ghost. But Paul really sums this up in Corinthians. Love 1 Corinthians. But, you know, there's a great chapter there about the resurrection. And, you know, Paul points out, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in their own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. Because the last enemy he destroys is death. And so, dying, being in the tomb, rising from the dead, he not only satisfies God's wrath, he not only pays the ransom for sin, the blood atonement for sin, but he conquers death. And human Jesus of Nazareth had to die and then rise in order to say that he had conquered death. Woo. So, happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter Sunday. Think about these things all week, and we'll be back next week to talk more about the resurrection. Have an awesome week.